as the Bulldogs count down and get ready to head back to the West, the Western Bulldogs.
In 2016, it was one of the most pulsating games that took Dogs fans every inch of the emotional journey. Tonight, it was won by quarter time. The contrast could barely be more extreme. Lysette takes the intercepting mark and kicks a careless torpedo up to half forward. Wood made the spoil. Wines works underneath. Towed the way of Aaliyah. He sends Port back inside as the siren signals a seismic upset at Adelaide Oval. It will be a grand final for the dreamers, for the romantics, for the nostalgic. The full genius of Luke Beveridge inspires the Bulldogs to a date with destiny against Melbourne over in Perth. They built Port Adelaide by 71 points. Incredible stuff from the Bulldogs. 17-14, 116. They beat Port Adelaide 6-9-45. It was 37 points at quarter time, 58 at half and three quarter time, and 71 at the close. Heroes on every line. Inspired by the coach, the chief executive told us he felt weak at the knees, so inspiring was it. But his men were stern of spirit. And it's back to 1954.
Yeah.
The joy of the small group of Bulldogs fans in South Australia is plain for all of us to share, and it will ripple through every lounge room here in the western suburbs in particular.
It's such a displaced year, Jared. How excited are those Western Bulldogs fans in Adelaide? There's tears streaming down their faces. And look at Adam Treloar. All the Bulldogs squad have come out onto the ground knowing they're not going to be part of it. Mitch Wallace, he's the Nathan Jones of the Western Bulldogs, missed out cruelly in 2016 with a broken leg. I'm going to miss out with a broken heart this year. But all he can do is try and share whatever he can with his teammates, the vice-captain.
Yes, yes. Let's get a closing comment from Kane Corns. You've got commitments, Kane. So just sum up the
Kane,
sense of
Kane,
shock
hello,
for
hello.
Us.
Kane, are you there? Hello, Kane.
I'm here. I'm taking it all in. I'm shocked is the right word. Did anyone see it? Like, it wasn't just... You know, I've probably never been more confident with the way that they were playing. The injury list that was non-existent, the week's rest, playing on your home deck, sleeping in your own bed, the challenges that the opposition had faced to be here tonight. But something intangible about a group that has been together, who wills themselves to do something incredible. I mean, if 2016 was something that we haven't seen, winning it from seventh, to win it from fifth with the challenges that they've had would be... It'd be twice as good, honestly, with what they've been through. So I'm in awe of what the Western Bulldogs have done. Equally, I'm in shock by the performance that Port Adelaide have put in and how this is going to reverberate around the city of Adelaide and inside the four walls of Alberton and how they can recover from this. This is going to leave a lasting dent on a lot of players' legacies.
Kane, thanks for your company tonight. Well done.
Bad
good on you guys. Difficult circumstances. Sell your car the hassle-free way with Car Sales Instant Offer. You are probably lucky, Hutto, that he hasn't thrown back that we lived the same thing last night. At 71-point margin. Nick Talsado, so can I give you the best piece of hindsight for the night?
Yes, please. It's probably a good time to put this in perspective because we can't figure it out.
So top place on the AFL ladder after round two was held by only two teams, Melbourne for 13 weeks and the Bulldogs for 8 weeks. And from round four to round 21, So the 18-week block where the season is defined, they sat first and second in varying orders, but they occupied first and second for 18 of the 23 weeks. Hindsight says they were the best two teams. It's just that the Dogs lost all form and fell out of the top four. But they had lived 8 weeks at the top of the ladder and shared for 18 weeks the top two place with Melbourne. And thus, history will record that they were clearly the best two teams, and they will meet in the grand final by virtue of a monumental upset. Makes sense of
well,
that if
gives
you will.
Us, that gives us a little bit of perspective. And you're right, it is easier to sit here now. I put my hand on my heart, and our responsibility in this industry is to try and predict on the evidence that we've seen, on the numbers that give you some sort of visual indication about what should happen if everything goes to plan. You can't plan and guess for Port Adelaide to give that lack of effort, to fumble, to turn the ball over in areas of the ground that they have not done or rarely done all year. And on the flip side, for the Dogs to bring that pressure, for the Dogs to be clean and systematic and so structured and executing to a man. We spoke pre-game and we were talking about Max Gawn and having the performance that he did. You come into these games just wanting to play your role and just having a solid, honest effort and then a solid, honest game for your team, let alone one out of the box. Like Mitch Hannon's first half was as good as we've seen him play. Bontempelli comes in under an injury cloud, yet he pops up and kicks a couple of goals. Adam Treloar's had a really poor and below standard final series, yet tonight he looked like a different player. His numbers probably showed that he had a different attitude tonight, and you put it all together. Ryan Gardner batting out of his weight division, fighting out of his weight division, finding a way to get it done. Josh Shackey's an incredible story. What I'm trying to get to, Jared, is none of this makes sense. We spoke to Amit Baines, who's a fantastic person, a ripper, and he spoke about their journey and where they've been, not only literally in the air, the journey that they've been on, but the challenges that they have along the way. I know Marcus Bontempelli had some issues to get ice to try and minimise the swelling on his knee. He couldn't physically get the ice because of the restrictions and not being allowed to go out and touch people on the way past. Yet they sit in this moment in time where you go, well done. I can't explain it to you right now. I don't know how else to put this. But they've got it done, and there's something beautiful about that as well, Jerry, that we can't actually attach words to what's just happened.
Yep, so it is the journey of 2016 through do or die finals at every turn, but it's different. It comes without the week's break on the way in, and it takes them through Tasmania to Queensland to Western Australia to South Australia and now back to Western Australia to stare down Melbourne in a grand final with whom they split their two meetings, their 1-1, and they will make the case as they leave tonight that it's a flip of the coin, Granny.
I came into tonight hoping Port would win because I was already looking forward to the grand final. I thought on paper Port will give the Ds more of a challenge. The only way that I felt that could be different is off the back of a performance like this. They can pressure the Ds as well as the Ds pressured the Cats last night. They are potent in a different way up forward than the Ds were last night. They have to form a different defence because they don't have Lever and May. They don't have those people. But they've got a different set of people that do it their way. And they've got a coach. And you said it pre-game and I'm with you. You'd pay good money to be in those meetings to understand and to have that feeling inside. And football's a game of feeling. Yep. It's how it makes you feel and therefore how you act off the back of it. And Luke Beveridge must have an incredible sense of what triggers this group to give a response, an action, a collective effort against all odds. Against all odds.
He's just the coach for the Odyssey, isn't it? He's a spiritual coach for what has ended up being a spiritual journey. Mm. And they have 2 weeks to freshen up. So they've played their way through, but now they enter on level terms with Melbourne.
Yeah.
They don't have to bat up in a week's time and we ponder what's the cumulative toll of four in a row. That's not the case this year. They will get to go to Perth. They'll have to endure a week of quarantine while Melbourne are freer. But recovery, players in and the like, no drama. They are at no disadvantage come grand final day now.
You're spot on. I mean, both teams will have sore players. Both teams will have players that have to probably work through some things about the expectation and what this means for the senior players. It means something different to the younger players, but they've got enough time to get that messaging right. And I spoke about it during the call, to play all those scenarios out in your mind to know what those actions are when that moment is called upon. So you don't have to figure it out on the fly. You've already lived it in your mind for 2 weeks. I was very fortunate to be in the rooms. The Dogs played in Canberra earlier this year and was with my opportunity to go in the rooms. And I got a glimpse of the Luke Beveridge motivational person, the theme, and he put a book in front of them. And I wasn't privy to exactly understand the whole book, but it was off the back of war and what that meant to those people and the need to rely on other people for you to do your job. Now, clearly, war doesn't always translate directly to football, but there are some small pieces out of it, and they were eyeballing him. They'd won the game. They were exhausted. And to a man, they sat there exhausted looking at their coach saying, we're with you. We're in this. And not that they're buying everything that he's selling, but they were doing it as a collective.
Every move he made tonight, it came up trumps. Marcus Bontempelli gets through safely. Steph Martin redefines them in the ruck. First up since round 12. Keith, they're cautious. He doesn't play. Waitman couldn't play.
These are great scenes as they come down.
There's nothing like it. No. Everyone's winning away from home, but this is slightly different. Yeah. This is in enemy territory.
Yeah, it is. It's a real away game, isn't it, tonight?
And they get to enjoy this for a little bit longer than any other previous year, knowing that they don't have to instantly drop into recovery mode.
Leaping around, flinging drinks in the air already. It's a skeleton staff in the rooms at Adelaide Oval. This will be a song to remember. It'll be the Demons and the Bulldogs in the Western Grand Final in a fortnight's time. In 1954, they met at the MCG. We'll be watching from afar, but it will have all the elements. This is AFL Nation, the post-game show for Rainbird, Smarter Irrigation, the Intelligent Use of Water, and Dan Murphy's. Kick off the footy finals at Dan Murphy's. We'll analyse it all for you. The Dogs by 71 points over Port Adelaide. Next.
That quarter on AFL Nation was for Victoria Police. Victoria Police is recruiting now. Search Police Careers.
Second preliminary final. Adelaide Oval, the Western Bulldogs, 17-14, 116, defeated Port Adelaide, 6-9-45. At quarter time, the Doggies had put up 44 points. Port Adelaide put up 45 for the whole night. 71 points at beggar's belief for the Doggies. I'm not sure I gave you the goal kickers. Bailey Smith booted 4. Mitch Hannon kicked 3. There was 2 for Bontempelli and for Norton, with singles to Treloar, Shacky, Vandermeer, Scott, Rourke Smith and Johannesson. While for Port, 2 for Charlie Dixon and 1 each for Marshall, Houston, Wines and Bonner.
Just to put that score in perspective, they've scored 45 points tonight, 6 goals, 9. They had a 44-point game against the Lions earlier this year, and then their next lowest, they had 55 twice. So this is their second lowest score of the year, unfortunately, in a huge game on their home deck with their home crowd. Mm. So we'll have to work through that at the right time as we work through some of these awards, Jared.
So last night was 125-42, an 83-point margin, and tonight was 116-45, a 71-point margin. They played twice during the year in front of nobody at Marvel when Melbourne beat the Dogs, and they played in front of nobody at the MCG when the Dogs beat Melbourne.
But now they're going to play in front of 60,000.
In Perth.
Couldn't buy
a crowd in Melbourne for these two.
Oh,
good Lord. All right, let's work through some of these categories. We may speak to Josh Dunkley. We'll certainly hear from Luke Beveridge for Doggies fans to take it all in. There's not a formal rookie for MEGT, your local apprenticeship experts. Who was the best young player on the ground, do you think?
Well, I thought Ryan Gardner was superb for the role that he played, but how can you go past Bailey Smith? Once again, two best ons in a row. I won't go to my votes just yet, but I think he'll go very well in the voting.
That's right. He's 65 games. Ryan Gardner's 20. So yep. Ryan Gardner can have that. Yep. MEGT supporting employers and apprentices for more than 40 years. The hanger of the day, hangmytv.com.au, because that's what they do.
I went with Connor Rosie's one in the last quarter.
The unseen hanger. The fans will pay no attention. You wait till you see the shots on the telly and have a look in the background. Nobody's watching.
Luckily, they were still there. I was surprised that they hadn't walked out by then, but that was a lovely grab.
Most underappreciated hanger of the year. The goal of the game. This is a big field for instant windscreens. Oh. Broken windscreen, call instant windscreens 132-444.
There was plenty to pick from. I went with Marcus Bontempelli's second goal. So the first one was the snap in the first quarter. The second one was from just inside 50 on the left peg as he just drifted out to his preferred side. I thought that was goal of the game. But there was plenty of quality goals, particularly from the Dogs' perspective.
We definitively had a tackle of the game for Toro for home ground advantage. Count on Toro. It's probably the tackle of the year. When Vandermeer thought he was going to take on Lysette, and he grabbed him, and it was a rock bottom. He picked him up and dropped him on the canvas.
Is it fair to say there was a little bit of frustration in it? A little bit of frustration. That was a brilliant tackle. Had to do it. There was another goal against. So, yes, that's where we'll go with that tackle of the game for Toro.
Toro count on it. The Bendix Brakes, big moment. Confidence-stopping Bendix Brakes.
I went with a whole first quarter. Now, I don't know if that's specific enough, but when you roll out the first quarter like they did and kick 7-2 from their 17 inside 50s, you thought the one, oh, okay, they're going to get a couple early, make a good game of it. It did not stop. So that was clearly the Bendix Brakes' big moment, was the start of the game.
Channel 7 showing the colour vision of 54, which was unearthed many years later.
That's right. The Dogs kicked 6-1 in the first quarter and won by 51 points, I think, in that game.
It's already started.
Yeah, 54. So there'll be representatives from both who will make appearances over the next 2 weeks, because it's 2 weeks. There's a lot of time to work through the backstory.
Charlie, shop early, remember?
Yes.
That was the great story.
One player you could count on today for one, a beer you can count on.
I think we learnt something else about Marcus Bontempelli tonight, who came into the game under an injury cloud. Clearly the flying doesn't support the recovery of any injury, but when he walks out, has 20 disposals, 10 inside 50s, and kicks 2 great goals. I thought this is a man that we knew you could rely on, but this is a different form of reliability. Mm. I just thought he was superb tonight.
Sustained performer for Host Plus, we go with you.
I have to go with Ollie Wines, and I looked at these numbers. We could see it, and we could hear it through your call, but he's had 38 disposals, 15 of those contested. He's had 7 clearances, 5 tackles, 6 inside 50s, and a goal. He was as brave and defiant as he could be. Unfortunately, he was nearly the only one.
Yeah. Host Plus, official superannuation partner of the AFL. The toughest player for Happy Tint. Happy Tint, your home, your office, your car, happytint.com.au. I want to have a go at this.
Yes.
McRae going back the path of Charlie Dixon.
I was going to ask, is it okay if I go with a moment rather than the whole body of work for a tough player? But for him to go back when he didn't have to, the game was clearly done by then. Non-negotiable. I love that. This is what we do at this football club, and it's my turn to go, and I might get hurt. And it was Charlie Dixon, which he wasn't aware of, but he still went with it and took the mark. It was a great grab.
Yeah, took the mark, escaped with his life.
Yes.
Unmissable moments for Drink Wise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise.
There was plenty of them. I went with Aaron Norton's mark at the top of the goal scorer in the first quarter. As the kick came in, he was in a beautiful position, and he launched and almost came down the waterfall. It was like a packed building, and it was just a beautiful grab. And he kicked the goal. So that was my unmissable moment in the first quarter.
The finals are down to two teams. It's 1 versus 5 from the ladder at the end. But I have given you the idea that it's really not that at all. As if you cast aside when the Bulldogs just lost their way at the end of the season. This is really 1 versus 2. All for 40 winks. Serious about sleep. Uncover amazing prices at the 40 Winks blackout sale. So the votes, which will include the stats for safety steel sheds designed to save, built to last.
So for one vote, I went with Mitch Hannon. I just thought his significant impact on the game, particularly early on, it wasn't even a mismatch that he could take advantage of, but he did. He was just making things work. He was the one that had to pop up and kick some goals from an unlikely source. So I was really impressed with his 14 disposals. He kicked 3-2, and he was lively all night. 2 votes, I went with Jackson McRae. Just the body of work, the weight of numbers, 36 disposals, 6 tackles, 70 inside 50s. And he mustn't wear deodorant because no one goes near him. Something's going on with Jackson McRae. He stands on the wing and just impacts play after play. And I've gone in the reverse order of what I did last week, and I might have got it wrong. I wasn't quite sure which way to go last week, but I've gone with Bailey Smith. So they were number one and number two. Bailey Smith's numbers again, 23 disposals, had a handful of tackles. He's kicked four goals and had six inside 50s. And this is a man that came into the final series of the for the year kicking eight goals in total. He's kicked nine in three games.
Hasn't he arrived? Like, there's been moments across his three seasons where we've known.
Yes.
We've known what he's going to become, but he has arrived in this final series.
I spoke about Marcus Fontempelli before. You learn about young guys as well. Some young players will come in and they'll bide their time. They'll wait for a senior player to do something and they'll follow their lead. Or you get a young man like Bailey Smith, who is polite. He's very well spoken, but his football doesn't replicate that. He's a brave, abrupt, here I am. Come and get it if you want it, but I'm going to go as fast as I can back the other way. And his work rate should never go unnoticed. We're going to get drawn to the flashy stuff and we'll take, you know, huge appreciation in some of those moments, but never underestimate his ability to put himself in positions to be excellent at football.
Bailey Smith with the three, McRae two, and Hannon the one. A shout out for Ringers Western from a Kimberley cattle station to the commentary box, ringerswestern.com. I think we're about to talk to Josh Dunkley. So just to savour how it's unfolded and to watch the players who weren't in the game storm the field, and it sort of puts me in mind there was a Collingwood win in a qualifying final against the Crows that was sort of those scenes down in the aftermath back in the Channel 10 days, and then we've seen them tonight with a Bulldog. So into the rooms we go with Josh Dunkley. Josh, congratulations. Welcome to AFL Nation.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
How exciting.
Yeah, words can't really describe the emotions at the moment, but we do know that there's one more to go, so it's nice to celebrate this one and be together as a whole group as well in Adelaide. So we're really looking forward to getting back to Perth now and getting back stuck into business.
Are you glad Essendon's the Bulldogs said no right at this very moment?
Oh, to be honest, mate, I haven't even thought about it. I'm happy at the moment, looking forward to next week. Oh, 2 weeks' time.
Josh, I'm really interested in the changing of the conversation because I'm assuming pre-game you never thought you'd be in that position at quarter time. What was Bevo like and what messages was he telling you guys at each break about controlling the game and ultimately how to play it out?
Yeah, I mean, we knew that, we know that Port Adelaide are a great side and they've been a great side all year, but to get the jump on them was going to be really important for us, and that was the messaging pre-game that we had to really, you know, put our heads down and work hard together. And it just happened for us in that first quarter. And I think our pressure and everything was really good. And around the footy, we just kept fighting. And mid stepped up and forward to the footy, I thought tonight we were incredible. So each break was more about maintaining that. They got a little run in the third quarter, but we came back out in the fourth and really put them to the sword.
When did you feel like you had the game wrapped up? Was there a particular moment you thought we're playing in a grand final in a fortnight's time?
Yeah, I think when JJ had a set shot from about 55 or so. I just looked at Lockie Hunter and sort of had a bit of a smirk. And, that was probably the realisation that we're going to go through next week. But, the rooms are going off at the moment.
Who's that carrying on behind you?
It was Mickey Hannon just walked in. I think he's just done an interview or something like that.
Tell us, there's a handful of players and you're going to get asked a lot of questions about individuals. But Mitch Hannon's game tonight and the role that he's played for your footy club, you must have just been just in awe of the way that he went about his footy, particularly that first half.
100%, yeah. Like I said, the forwards really stood up and Mitchie led the way down there. And obviously got the compliments of Naughty and Timmy and all the guys down there that are really, you know, we just ask for a contest and then we can bring the ball to ground and let our smalls go to work. So Hannon's is that, you know, he's that tall, but he's also a small. He's so electric, his speed, and so important to our forward line and our whole makeup as a group.
Dunks, the other one I want to ask you about, and I struggle to get a grasp of this man, is Jackson McRae. And you look at his numbers week in, week out. He's had the most disposals in AFL history in one particular season. What does this man do that allows him to get so much of the football every week?
It's quite incredible. Everyone sort of talks about Nader, but how he's able to win the footy. But his work rate when we've got the ball is quite incredible. And the way that his energy on offense is really good. So, he works really hard throughout the week. He's a professional footballer. He's done it for, you know, so long now and so consistent. So, he's deservedly one of the best players in the comp. And I think it's he's an inspiration to look up to, and one that, he's very important for us too.
You've been in this position before, but you haven't done it with a week off in between. How do you instantly feel like you need to handle the next fortnight? What's the best case scenario to get through and be ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a blessing in disguise that we've got a week off. We've got a few sore boys, and obviously Keithy didn't play tonight and Cody didn't play tonight, but there's a lot of guys that will enjoy this break. Normally it's taken the week into the finals, as everyone knows, but I think for us, this week will probably be more of a recovery sort of type week, and then we'll, full steam ahead next, probably from Saturday onwards next week.
Terrific, Josh. Well done. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.